We'd like to do several things tonight, but the first is I want to say a word of thank you for so many of you coming and sharing in this conversation tonight. I'd like to begin with just a little bit of history. Many of you know this history perhaps better than I, and you can fill in for me, but for those of you that don't know much about Holland history, let me share that in the year 1960, Holland, the gift of Holland was given by the Howe Sound Mining Company, and it was given essentially to all of the youth departments of all of the Lutheran churches in the United States. That was, of course, an impossibility, since such an entity didn't exist, such as that. And so it was received by LBI, Lutheran Bible Institute. We were having a discussion about Lutheran Brotherhood this afternoon. Of Seattle, and who agreed to receive it, and it was passed on then to Holden Incorporated some months later in the year 1961, after Holden, as we know it today, became officially incorporated. And the original intent, or the original vision of many of those that were instrumental in founding Holden, as it is known today, many of which came out of the board and those others associated with the Lutheran Bible Institute and the youth departments across the country of various Lutheran groups, was that Holden would be a place for young people. And about 1963 then, after several summers of young people and others, adults, coming to help rebuild the village, which had fallen into a good bit of disrepair from the time that the mining company had left in 1957 until the first summer that any work was done here was 1961. It took a couple of summers before Holden was ready to begin to do serious programming. Programming was done tangentially with those who came to the village to help repair the village, but it was not a major thrust in the early years. The very first director of Holden Village is actually not Carol Hinderly, but it was a man by the name of Gil Berg, who saw his role largely as an effort to reconstruct physically Holden Village. And he was still in that role when Carol Hinderly was called to be basically the program director for the village. But it didn't work to have two directors at Holden Village. And soon Carol became the director of Holden Village, which included not only the programmatic aspects of the village, but also the physical aspects of the village as well. In the early years then of Holden, programmatically, many youth groups came to Holden Village. I first came to the village in 1969 with about 60 young people in tow from Southern California. But it wasn't too long after that that the village decided that youth groups were not the thing for the village. When was the official last 78?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Were you the ones they sent the bill to?
That was the one from California.
Oh, that was the one from California.
And the intent initially was that there would be no youth groups in the village of anyone under 18. That youth under 18 would all be accompanied by their parents or a surrogate parent.
This was in Gil Berg's time, do you think?
As it was formed initially.
Okay. Well, see, that's interesting. I So it was more considered to be a young adult.
Young adult.
Retreat center. Right. Anyway, Holden quickly, or over the period of years, grew to be an adult and a family, a kind of renewal center. One of Carol Hinderle's visions was that when families, that this would be a place to put the family back together again. And so instead of providing youth programming for young people, where the village provided programming every hour in the hour for young people, the part of the idea originally was that families would come here and the families would create fun together and do things together rather than everybody going their separate direction. And that kind of philosophy or that kind of idea has persisted even to this day. Even after Narnia, when Narnia was started, as I recall, it was just a couple of hours in the morning for younger children, and that was all the programming there was when I first came to Holden Village about 1969 or 1970. And then Narnia grew, older ages were added until this day, where there is a program for young people from zero, as someone said this summer, through the teen years, from zero to 12, Narnia in the mornings, and then the miners meeting with the leader at various times during the day and during the week. Now, since the village stopped taking youth groups, one of the interesting things that has happened is that, and I don't have any statistics about this, but it's just the observation of those that have been around Holden is that the young people, particularly in the months of July and August, have been on the increase every year. Part of them come from families of people who came here as young people and have now gone away and gotten married and have come back and brought their children with them. And so each summer, at least we've noticed that this summer over against last summer, that we have an increasing number of teenagers and youth of all ages. It's getting to the point where out of 250 guests in the village, we will have at times as many as 100 young people in the village. So the question then comes, should the village limit the number of families and children? It clearly has maintained an emphasis on adult programming. Should it begin to shift to include more programming for young people? Should it stick by its kind of philosophy that a good share of the programming for young people should be done by the parents who come to the village? That it should be a family kind of event? Where should Holden go with those kinds of issues? How much structure should Holden create for young people in the village when they come? We'd like to hear your ideas tonight about that, or feel free to ask questions or raise concerns. And we'd like to hear from the young folks as well.
I'll take a lead.
Good.
And I'd like to pose this question to the young people. How would you feel if someone did a wilderness program for young people where they would go out for 2 or 3 days, maybe to Image Lake or maybe one of those things, or maybe if someone like Mark set up a top rope for a little bit of rock climbing under a guided leader, just on a top rope, or how do you feel about venturing out into the village for a couple of days and that kind of structure for young people to get away and program such as that next summer?
Yeah. I mean, as long as everybody goes together, you're all together. So at the whole point, you know, we all like to be together, you know?
The family or the
No, the kids.
Yeah, y'all.
I mean, it's neat to be with your family also, but I mean, you know, it's more fun when you're with the kids.
So a group of 10 of you would go out, maybe.
Are you up for 20, Brian?
I need a helper.
I'll help. Well, I for one would think it would be an extremely dull vacation if it was all old people or all singles without children sitting around, to be honest with you.
Why was the decision made not to have programming for the youth? I mean, outside of the village. I'm understanding that the programming that's been done in Narnia as it's expanded
right.
into
right.
the minors group
right. Right.
has been just village focused.
Right.
Not any of the.
I don't think there's ever been a decentralized camping program at Holden for anyone outside of the advice that the Hike House gives people. The emphasis on Holden, as I understand it, has always been in the village and in terms of the programmatic stuff on the board. Now that the village encourages people to take hikes and go camp, you know, overnights and so on and so forth, but there's never been a decentralized programmatic effort in the village. That would be a new, this summer with our wilderness spirit experiments, which are not going on this week, but have been going on, where people could go for one day or go overnight, relatively new, I think.
See, in the very early years, there were those programs.
There were.
Yeah. There were programs where you would take families with small children out for 2 or 3 days,
wow.
teenagers out, young adults.
What years groups. Were those?
I was here 62 and 63, those two summers. I mean, early years. That's where it started.
Later than 60s, right?
Yeah.
In the early 70s.
What?
I went on one with my kid.
Did you?
To Donkey Lake.
In 1970? Okay, well sometime after that then it was lost.
I mean, I took many groups of families with children to Donkey, to Lyman, to Copper Basin.
Well, I wasn't aware of that. Yeah, Dale?
Overnight. Yeah. 3 or 4 days.
Just as observation, my first summer here, it seems to me that the programming has just been extremely heavy for the adult age groups. And it's basically a place where the adults come for an adult program, and Holden provides sort of these services to take care of their kids while they come here for the adult programming. And I really don't see any effort to program for families. Wow. Families come up here, but I noticed somebody used the word vacation, and that's what I see it as. Families come up here to vacation, and there's all these wonderful things. You kind of forget the kids, and you go to see your programs the way you want, and because that's what the focus is up here. It's the adult programming, and well, they've got kid services. I don't see that real, I guess, family emphasis in any overt way, other than they're all up here. And I'd like to continue to see all age groups up here. I don't think there's a limit in the middle age groups, the teens. But I think we need to maybe come up with some new ways of dealing with not only that age group, but some things where we bring the age group together. We have the intergenerational coordinator,
right.
And that's sort of been a, I don't know, a token effort as far as I've been able to tell.
Did you say last summer there was an intergenerational games
We've had that all summer as well, but it's this last week it's not been evident, although certainly Renaissance Day had some elements.
Quite often kids are discouraged from doing things as a family. Having a 8-year-old and a 10-year-old, like when there are craft activities that my children would enjoy doing with me, it's kind of like, no, this is really for adults. And so you can go hiking with your children, you can send them to Narnia, but there's not any real activity that we can do in the village other than bowling or whatever. Why?
Why can't they pipe?
Because they're not allowed to.
They can't do crafts.
They can't do crafts.
Why?
They're not old enough. They're not old enough. Sometimes they're tightening. And so quite often, I it's kind of like, yes, we can go hiking, and we do. And we'll take them to the bowling alley, but there's not any.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. In the back, Robert?
Just on that point, at Christmas time and at Thanksgiving time, which were family times, we specifically arranged crafts for families so that the families all work together on the crafts. To my mind, this is fewer numbers, you know. I don't think with the present staffing we have in crafts in the summer, you could possibly do it for families. We need to increase the staffing in crafts.
But also the subjects of forms and so on are really adult overall. That's what I'm saying. There's not any intergenerational activities, be it a forum, a craft. Right, because we had another Thanksgiving that did work quite well.
Celebration days like yesterday are intergenerational.
Right. Yeah. So what you would advocate is that we think seriously about, for example, in the area of crafts, is making that more of a intergenerational possibility rather than just an adult possibility.
Well, I just get the feeling that either I do it with my children or I send them to Narnia, but I can't have my children with me to do other activities.
Although a lot of kids have
good point. Carl, I think you had your
I was going to comment on, I'm working the hike house, I was going to comment on the use of the wilderness for youth groups. And we do need to realize that we are in a federal wilderness, not in a national forest, and groups are restricted to 12 people going out at any one time. And even that number is not a good wilderness experience. It becomes kind of a mass movement into the woods. And to really experience the wilderness, it has to be small groups. And it wouldn't be appropriate at all to take groups larger than that. And you need to be willing to give up much of their groupness and to become individuals to experience the outdoors that we have here.
Yeah.
I understand, like, you know, the adults try and make, you know, I understand they are trying to, you know, to make hunting for us, but I just think that it keeps on coming up that, you know, it's the adults who are making everything. I think that maybe if we kind of get together and, like, you know, have the kids say what they like, you know, and the parents, you know, we can compromise, you know, about things to do and stuff. If we just get together, then that way, you know, everything will be fine, and you know, the kids will be having fun because, you know, they'll have ideas and they'll be able to do their ideas also, not just the adults' ideas.
So what you're saying is that whatever we do, we need to involve you in the planning of those events and the shaping of those events.
I'm not saying everything, you know, I understand that, you know, you guys are older, you know, and you
have that's for sure.
You know, you, but you know what I mean, you guys have, you know, right, you know, more control over things, but just if you just
spit it out.
You know, just if you let us in on the planning a little more.
Okay. Good observation. Yeah, I think
I have found that as soon as we got to Holden for the family experience we were really needing, the family was fractured. Everybody, after 2 days, everybody went their own way. We hardly see our kids. I think the point was very well made that there's really no attempt to make it a family place. There's no time. I mean, even sessions and the heavy
loading of sessions contributes to this, but even opposite meals there are sessions, so sometimes you don't even eat at the same time. I like to see some kind of, one idea is a time and a convenient one might be 4 to 5 p.m. that is family hour. I know all due respect to the teens who are rolling their eyes, they hate the idea. One of the reasons we bring our families here is because we want to see our kids. And if there are no sessions going on that way, then maybe the family will decide not to do something together, not a law or anything. But at least there is some time for a hike or an argument or something that needs to be done.
Scheduled family. Okay, that's kind of one idea. One of the things that it would be helpful for me to hear too are kind of specific ideas of how, it could happen too. So, yeah.
Just a little idea about, could we slow the meals down by 5 minutes? That's a very specific idea. They're faster this year than they've ever been. I mean, it's just, you just don't do your announcements for 5 more minutes.
Yeah.
You just wait 5 minutes. Because once we do announcements and people blow out and clear their tables and really, I don't know what the backup is in the kitchen, but
we've actually lengthened them 5 minutes this summer.
Last year?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Last year was
Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we can lengthen them another 5 minutes. One of my goals is to make our meal time more graceful and conversational. And we've actually gotten lots of compliments on how much better it is this year than last year. Yeah. So
maybe I've slowed down.
You're getting older too. I think that is something we need to. I'm not saying we're where we want to be. I'm just saying that. Yeah, that's a good point.
I had a toddler last year, that was it. Maybe. It didn't matter.
On the subject of mealtime, that is also a time when we as families finally have a chance to sit together and talk. And maybe there's a little bit more an emphasis on family togetherness during the mealtimes. I mean, it's not just eating that's important, it's the fellowshipping that goes on across the table at mealtime. And that's something that perhaps could be worked more into the time that we all sit together as a family, the fellowship of it needs to be emphasized.
How many of you teenagers like to sit with your parents today?
Yeah, but what about little kids? And I'm not just talking about teenagers and adults. I'm talking about the whole generational thing. We talk about generations, but what about the older people? They're important too. And I guess I see, when I think of family, I just don't think of blood relationship. I think of relationship in the Lord.
Yeah.
And that's something that is very, very important. It doesn't matter if teenagers all sit together. It's the fellowshipping. It's the oneness that's covered in Christ that needs to be worked on. It needs the flavor.
Making the meal more of a fellowship time.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I asked them that because it's been a struggle at that age to get together, Yeah, okay.
I think in a way that the fact that there are more teens wanting to come is a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
Because the last two summers, our daughter has just said, no, I want to go on vacation with you. She's a teen. And yet this summer she didn't fight enough to be able to stay home. She came and she's been happy here, and I think it's wonderful that the teens do get together. But I think they need to get together more often to do something instead of once every other day or every 3 days. It needs to be every day.
Okay, good.
Two quick comments on things that have already been said. One is as an adult, I come here because I love to be challenged and stretched as a human being, and Holden has always done that. I think someone said this already, but I think that ought to be part of the programming for every age. And I'm not sure it really is an ingredient with all the youth groups this summer. I think some are kind of complaining that it's kind of boring. And I think especially, and I think that was part of the early ingredient that the Hinduism folks built into it. This is a time where people are going to be stretched and really challenged. You know, what better place for that than the place I'm holding. The other thing, too, with the scheduling is that it seems like things are spread out during the whole day and evening so much that you sort of pick and choose and you do your own thing. And if everyone does that, you sort of lose a sense of community where there's no really rhythm of the day for the whole community. You just have 300 and some people, everyone doing their own thing and eating in two different settings. But I think that maybe there's too many things programmed.
Yeah.
I would echo somewhat what he said. I've been here for the last 5 summers, and even though my children have special needs, I've also appreciated the increasing numbers of teenagers and can see the problem. If you want some concrete things, I would think that. I know they don't like competitive games here, but we do have a baseball field down there. And the volleyball area isn't used at all. Very much as I can see that. I think there can be some organized things there for teams. I also agree that I think we have to target some of the sessions for teenagers and even have some workshops. We have a lot of these. And we can stretch their thinking and expand their thinking on a lot of different things. I think those are some things, but I also think that the wilderness here is a real opportunity for a lot of kids who never have a chance to be outdoors. And if you could hire some volunteers in the summer that are expert backpacking people, maybe complemented by somebody who's good with youth, they have an enriching experience in the wilderness, learn about the environment, take them out in groups of 8 or 10. I think that would be a nice way to.
You can build a ropes course here. Mm-hmm. A whole lot of good, not just for the teens, but for ages from 6th grade up.
Maybe you want to say what a rope course is so that everyone knows.
A ropes course is just what it sounds like. Sometimes they have two elements, low ropes and high ropes, including group challenge areas, so that there are things that a facilitator will take a group of people to, anywhere from 6 to 12 is like a high wall, and the group has to figure out how to get everybody over the wall, and there are things that you can't do by yourself, so there's teamwork, there's decision making. Then there is a ropes course, and the low ones may be airline cables between trees, and you've got to walk on the cable, and your peers are spotting you. Different kinds of elements in these. And then there are high ropes, too, which may be 15 to 20 feet off the ground, secured by a sophisticated belay system, so actually they're safer than the low ropes. And these are different configurations of ropes up in the tree that you just move from one tree to the next using balance and so forth. They're used a lot with delinquent populations, but they're used more and more in school districts. All of McDonald's management people who work in ropes course, Pecos Valley has a very large commercial program. There are a lot of private ones. And if you had a facilitator who could do it, you could have a wonderful adventure program right here and set it close to the village so that you wouldn't be, as Carl says, degrading the wilderness with masses of people and still have a real strong adventure program right here.
Brian.
I would like to comment on that. And what I was thinking, I was a ski instructor for 5 years, and the neat thing about ski instruction was it brought the family together at a unique level because they're all in the same boat, learning together. And I'd get invited out by families that I'd talk to go out to dinner, and and the young people were talking what they did, and the parents couldn't talk fast enough, and the teenagers couldn't talk fast enough. It was mayhem, because they were all enjoying something at the same level together. And that's something I was thinking that we as a community had to come up with an idea where we could bring all the people together to experience something new, so they could dialogue at the same thing. They could do something together, experientially. And a ROTES course would do that, something of that nature, where they would be learning together and they could share common experiences and common fears and common successes.
And just a little footnote to that, don't think it's any less scary for the adult than it is for the
up in the balcony, yeah.
Just on this forums for teens sort of idea.
Yeah.
Just to begin with, I'm perfectly happy with the way things are run for teens right now. So, and I think there's probably a lot of people that are. So it's not like you have rumblings of discontent or anything like that. Just because of there's very little structure, and that gives people who want to have a lot of freedom a lot of things to do if you decide to do them when you're a teenager. And I was thinking that if you decide that you want to do more programming and try to discourage any sort of, I mean, I know sometimes this can happen with minors' activities, any pressure to do the teen activity for the day, you know, to play a volleyball game or whatever, so that for the people that would like to have something like that, they can do that, and then for the rest of the people not to. Because I know it's really hard to plan things for teens and to have it work out right. In fact, it's almost impossible because everything is dependent on the whims of the particular group of teenagers you have in the village in any particular week. And, you know, I think it works out fine a lot of the time when you don't have anything programmed. And this group of people, if they meet, you know, maybe once a morning for a minors meeting just to get acquainted and share their favorite ice creams or something, then, you know, then it works out well and friendships develop from there. So, you know, I don't see any huge need for structure, but if you're doing it, I'd like it to be kept as low key as possible.
Okay. Okay, yeah.
I just wanted to ask some of the teams over there what they think. I mean, is this place a boring place? Is it the way you like it? Or what are some of the things that you'd like to see here? If you could have anything you want to have happen here, what are the kind of things that you'd like to see here?
You know, nightlife.
Dream. Yeah. A nice spot.
You have the best person, then what do? We go around the pool hall and it closes, and then we have nothing to do, and we don't want to go to bed. And we like to stay up till 11, 12, maybe sometimes 1 even. And we just, you know, we walk around and talk and stuff. And if there's some place that we could go and you know, like dance or whatever.
It's hard to go there at night.
Kind of like your own spot.
Yeah, a place where you can go and we can all be together, and we don't have to be extra quiet because we have to worry about the adults being woken up, or we don't have to worry about, you know, whatever.
What other kinds of, I mean, I was thinking about that too, that maybe we need a spot that could be built by teenagers. You know, that kind of a thing. And, but other ideas, like during the day, would you get into sessions for teenagers, or do you want more freedom during the day, or you want to just sleep?
Do anyway. I like the freedom we have right now for the day, because we can find things in it. You know, it's just at night, there's nothing to do. Go to bed at 9 o'clock is basically, or walk around and talk, basically the only choice we have.
A lot of the parents don't like it when girls and guys go out and talk together, because they kind of get mixed feelings about it, you know? And personally, most of the kids, you know, we don't do anything, you know? I mean, we're pretty well raised, you know? And there's nothing wrong with having the opposite sex for friends. And usually we can open up to each other, and we can't do that during the day. And so that's usually what we do at night. And so when we have to go to bed like at an early hour and we have nowhere to go, it's really boring, and we can't open up or anything.
So it's like nighttime is a real important time for you guys?
Yeah.
Extreme
maternal. I guess what I'm trying to get a feel for is if we put a lot of energy into programs during the day, you know, what's your response going to be if nighttime is really your most, the time that is really important to you?
Couldn't you just take and close the pool hall from 10 to 10:30 and reopen it with another supervision just to give them a place to go till midnight or 1 o'clock or
okay, like
the
VC.
We close it so that it chases out all of us,
like that? Yeah.
Kids with the, you know, with our young ones. Because usually it's a real family time down there.
Have a curfew for adults.
Yeah, have a
curfew. Yeah.
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 That's it. That's right, and then let the kids have the chaos.
Excuse me, I thought that part of the reason for the remodeling in Narnia was that, particularly that room that has the wood stove, so it could be a late evening gathering place where people wanted to play games and stuff. Because in past years, when games were played in the dining hall, it kept the people away. So, you know, there's a couch over there, and can't that be used?
A place lacks real atmosphere.
Yeah.
We're talking sterile classroom over there.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, we do a dance there, we got to really dress it up.
Well, maybe it needs to be dressed.
That's what I'm saying. Is
yeah, I think there is.
I don't think it's acceptable.
Yeah,
I,
how about the lift?
I think there's some possibilities there. Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the issues is since it's used heavily in the morning for Narnia, is the kind of whole conversion from a clean spot to a little good spot. But I don't think that's, I mean, that could be worked on, planned and organized.
If the village were to provide, you know, late night teen activities, we're talking 12, 1, 2 o'clock, things like that, is that what the parents would want? Do you want your children out at after midnight? Is that what you prefer?
Well, they can make a decision. They can have curfew set their own children.
Well, that's very difficult. But I just wondered if that's what the parents want.
I think, as a parent myself, I'd like to see my kid in at least by midnight. I mean, I have a 17-year-old, and back when we had our other kids here, we expected them to be in at least by that, and we probably said 11 back then. We'd be more lenient. But as long as they're being really good kids and being quiet or whatever they have to do, I think that that's great if they have a place to be.
And you don't have to worry about us, so you don't need to come check in at midnight or 11 or whatever.
Yeah.
Because you know there's
going to
be adults around who can supervise us, so I mean, you know, what can you do?
I'm on staff here, and it's been 3 years since I was here before. There are a lot more kids and teenagers here this year, and there's a lot more noise, and there's a lot more destruction of property all over the village. And it's very evident to me. It seems to me there are teen camps all over the country, and Holden is unique in that it's the one place I can think of where it's been mostly adults coming to a setting like this and being able to be in a place like this. It seems very difficult to instill a sense of community into children and teenagers. I'm not sure why, but how many times can you say very, very nicely to a teenager or a group of teenagers, that's what we really don't as a community approve of trashing the dining halls of the people who come in at 4 in the morning and have to clean it up? Or how many times do you have to say to a group of 10-year-olds, well, we really don't like to throw rocks at the ground squirrels because this is their home. And I see a lot of this stemming from some of the parents. I hear that people saying that they want to come here and be with their kids, but on a day-to-day basis, what I see is that people want a round-the-clock babysitter, thinking that this is a very safe place and that the staff will take care of people and see that they don't get into trouble. And you can get into trouble. Just this evening, I was working in the balcony, and I had to ask two preteens not to hang most of their bodies off
the balcony at Vespers because there was a danger of dying by falling off. The last week I had to stop two children under the age of six from doing the same thing on the balcony. Now, where were their parents? Sometimes it's even worse when the parents or grandparents are there. I've seen adults sit 6 feet away from children playing with a $750 microphone without stopping them. Or parents or grandparents listen to me tell small children five or six or seven times not to jam rocks into drainage holes because that really isn't a good thing to do, and never ever do make any kind of move to stop it. It's extremely frustrating for me on all levels. Now, I come here to be challenged, but part of that challenge is not to be kept awake until 3 in the morning because there are groups of teenagers roaming through the village and being quiet because they don't have anything better to do. I have viewed this as a good place to come, and if it becomes a youth camp, I know that I'll find something else. I don't think I'm the only one who feels like that.
Okay, good. Yes.
Our room was next door to a room that was occupied by a couple of young people who left, I believe, yesterday. And I had some very sympathetic feelings with the housekeeper who had the responsibility of cleaning that room. It looked horrible. He said he probably wouldn't get it cleaned in time to have any noon meal. And that seems to me a sad, sad commentary. And I don't understand where the responsibility for that kind of behavior rests in terms of parents not offering supervision. Seems to me if this is a family place, then parents need to assume responsibility for the behavior patterns of their young people, particularly when this behavior seems to disregard the common good of the village and the common preservation of property and everything else that the village stands for.
How could we address that issue in the village, do you think? Do we need to...
Well, it's not just young people. Adults are like that, too. Right. There are some adult slobs.
Okay. Yeah.
That particular room was on our floor. I don't know whether the young man was there alone, whether his parents were there with him. I was also with the housekeeper when he came out, and it took him 2 hours to clean up sawdust that had been brought back from the teepee the couple nights prior to that. I think that at least what I observed is that room was used as a gathering place because it was his room and everybody else who was his age, that's where they gathered to spend the evening or afternoon or whatever. And I think that's something that the parents should have addressed when they had it.
In some ways that maybe we should all take our shots at doing this, not just the parents, as we find this happening, and I happen to be on that floor too, and I didn't do anything about it, but I felt I should.
Well, I made them pick up some paper one afternoon, and they weren't very happy, but they had shredded paper all down the hall.
I should have said something either to them or to Holden.
But I don't know where the parents next door to him, do you know that?
Pardon?
Were his parents there with him?
Yeah, I saw them.
I didn't either.
I think we need to remember
he was unaccompanied. Well, maybe that's a Holden fault that they're allowing children or kids of teenage years.
No one that's a teenager here comes alone.
But I understand his mother is on the staff.
His mother was on the staff.
He's 18.
He's still on staff and has moved to a different room.
Well, he wasn't on staff before.
He just turned 18 today.
Yeah, he just
yesterday.
Excuse me, I'd like to speak up because I'm his parent, and I've really struggled with this
issue a lot, and I don't feel I can sit here and, I mean, I appreciate all that you've said, and I've struggled with this issue a lot. He did turn 18, and I guess part of it, I wish you would have all spoken to him, and I have come to Holden for 10 years and feel that, again, it's a community place.
Right.
I struggled with that a lot. He is 18 years old. He needs to start taking some responsibility. He's an adult, and yet he is a child. And I guess I wish you would have spoken to him, or maybe spoken, I'm guilty. I probably should have been over there monitoring him more. But again, he's 18 years old, and if I could maybe have some dialogue with all of you, I'm struggling. And if I could have some help on, you know, you can't run your kid's life all his life.
Sure.
And I wish I could dialogue with people on how to handle something like that. I wasn't going to beat on him.
Sure.
You know,
Well, it wouldn't have to be just you either. I think the natural consequence would be if the room was like that, you would need to clean it up yourself, and it would probably
why should I clean it up?
No, not you.
Him. Well,
and you shouldn't be the one to have to tell him. I think maybe if it came from someone else, well, she could, but he's 18, and now she's saying that this is Holden, and maybe Holden needs to tell him that, you know, my mom isn't the only one who thinks I should, you know what I mean? You should.
I think the natural consequence would have been that he would have been put on the bus and left the village.
After he cleaned up the room.
And if, you know, vandalism occurs with children,
I don't think
we
it was
hesitate
vandalism.
To send the family
vandalism?
Out of the room.
It was sawdust on the floor.
It's a help if we only talk one at a time, and if you let me point to people, then we can all hear each other. Otherwise, we can't. Sally, you haven't had a chance to say anything.
Well, I was just reflecting that at our program staff meeting the other day, we were talking a little about this problem, and we were discussing the possibility of having some sessions during the summer that would be designed in the direction of parenting skills. And having a place to dialogue with other parents, you know, about issues of parenting. And we're not sure that, you know, we really didn't come to a conclusion as to whether parents would respond and want to attend sessions like that or not.
Yeah, I think that could be an important session at Holden. All of us who are parents and all of us who are parents have children. And all of us have children, and our children sometimes act inappropriately. And I think an important issue for us all is how do we assist one another with our children's inappropriate behavior, just as how do we confront one another when we're inappropriate with each other. And I think that's a very critical issue today. That's an issue in the Holden community, particularly in the winter time when we live very close together. And not only our inappropriate behavior with each other as adults, it doesn't go, I mean, it's obvious. And even more obvious is our children's inappropriate behavior. And so we have to struggle with how do we assist one another with that particular issue. Now, I don't know, maybe some of you as parents have perfect children that never are at all. You know, we could have a group for you too, but for the rest of us, you know, the issue is how do we deal responsibly? I think that's maybe yet another forum this week, huh, or something.
One of the things that has not happened since we've been here this year, and I know in the past, there's always been dishwashing teams needed, table setting teams, table cleaning teams, help in the laundry, help out in the yard. This has not happened this year. Twice they've asked for picking chicken bones and I don't know what the other one was, shucking corn. Now it seems to me that if we all are responsible for coming here and doing part of this, that might be a part of it. I think the kids need to have some responsibility that this is part of their unit. This is, belongs to the American or the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. And we have a responsibility to keep care of it. And it is their property. And I think that's what we have not instilled in a lot of the young people, that they're coming and it's a party and somebody else is going to clean up after me.
Actually, we have made more of an intentional effort to ask every week this year. Maybe it hasn't happened.
We haven't had one since I've been here.
Well, last week.
Other than Narnia.
Monday morning, Tom gave a big speech about that.
No.
Was that last week ago, Monday?
Yeah, we had nothing but Narnia.
When did Tom give his speech about volunteering?
Monday on Narnia, and the other day about corn, and today about chicken.
But there's something different that I noticed this year. In the past, they said we need so-and-so many helpers for something, right. And they waited till they got them.
Yeah, right. We've done
this
that.
Year, they just said we need so many helpers, and then they didn't get them, and they went on to the next thing.
You know, one of the interesting things is that Holden is so different every week, because that's exactly what we've been doing all summer long.
Really?
It's true that today the announcement was we need some helpers, and we didn't say five, and we waited there until we got five helpers. But, I mean, that's literally what we've been doing all summer.
Because I noticed that wasn't happening. I was kind
of we have this funny saying, historically speaking at Holden, which means, you know, last week. Vicki, you wanted to say something.
I'm thinking about teen programming. And I'm not so far away from my teen years, but I'm far enough to know that there are a lot of things I didn't know. 2 years ago, I thought I knew everything, and I know today that I know very little. And I think that there are things that I think programming for teens would be a great thing. I mean, specific sessions and that kind of thing that are part of the minors group or whatever. And I think there are things that they could really benefit from, whether they know it or not. And I think they should be included. I've been a youth director, and I believe wholeheartedly that the teens should be included in their own destiny to a certain extent in terms of program. But I also feel very strongly that there are a lot of things they don't know. There are a lot of things we all don't know. And I think that that there are some, they could really benefit from some things on whether it's sexuality or whether it's how a young person works through their faith. What do I want to be when I grow up? I mean, all those things are things I still struggle with, and I think they could really benefit from it. Some specific programs.
Okay. All right.
A couple of quick comments.
Yeah.
One relating to supervision for late night activity. I think, no offense, but you're dreamers if you think that it is a wise thing to allow no supervision for. I mean, it doesn't have to be sitting right there and watching, but it is true that when I worked as housekeeper here, this was in the 70s, Lodge 2 up there was the Luther Lee Lodge. And every time groups left, we'd have to replace doors, we'd have to replace wall panels, we'd have to replace carpeting because the drains would be stuffed full and the water would overflow. And it's unfortunate, and probably most of you or none of you have ever done anything like that. But unfortunately, that's what adults have to think about. Another thing is, I think if the village wants parents to have better monitoring of their children, once again, the programming has got to be reduced. Because the programming is designed to draw adults in. And then where are the kids?
Okay. You've been trying to get...
I was going to say, as far as the kids, I mean, one of the things I've... really appreciate about it, Holden, is that I've realized I'm not the only parent that's watching my kids as I sit on the green. Excuse me. But with the turnover in the village, it would seem to be helpful if there was written regulations or rules or guidelines. You know, we don't throw rocks, we don't run with sticks, you know, what should be common sense, and yet there's an awful lot of kids in the village that don't seem to understand it. And if it's in writing, and I realize some of it's set in orientation, but I mean, either it goes in one ear out the other, or like the day we were there, that the sound system's so bad you don't hear it. And I think the jacuzzi is one of the places that's been the worst offenders for us this summer, is trying to convince our kids that the rule is that you sit still, and yet parents bring kids down there with floaties on so they can swim. Mm-hmm. We just about had one little girl that drowned this week because the mother was busy talking as the girl walked off into the jacuzzi. And so, and I think there's just accidents waiting to happen, and maybe it, with the turnover in the village every week, it needs to be put in writing that these are what we expect of kids, you know.
We need 2 pages of parent tips.
Well, not just the parent tips are wonderful, and I think the accommodations for the families is really appreciated as a parent of small children. But I think there also needs to be some common guidelines of this is what's acceptable behavior within the village, and that we are in a wilderness area, and so you do leave the wildlife alone.
Excuse me, on the parent tips, I mean, that sheet was referred to at the meeting, but I never had access to one. I happened to find there was one in the restroom in the cupboard. My daughter opened the cupboard wondering what was in it, and that's when I happened to see the parent tips. So,
it didn't appear in your room.
No, it didn't. So, but I did read it subsequent to that, and now this is our 8th year here, and so we've had our kids since toddlerhood. And I feel that the tenor of the village has transformed a great deal in its attitudes towards children, and I'm very thankful to see that. But again, as Laura was expressing there, you know, there are those common sense things that sometimes don't happen that we wish did. So that, you know, sometimes I think there are some weak links, and I think that sheet had all kinds of things on it that took me about 2 summers to figure out.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that took place. But I think it needs to be in maybe special time for parents, maybe, if you hopefully if you go to that session too with the kids, maybe. I don't know.
Okay, we have time for just a couple more here, but you haven't had a chance. And who else? Mark hasn't? Okay.
A couple of comments. So you've talked about the need for the young people to be involved in shaping the program if it's going to be a program that appeals to them. We've also heard some suggestions of kinds of programs that need uniquely skilled leadership that cannot happen spontaneously after a given group gets off the bus, but would take all winter to try to locate people who are capable of putting on the kinds of programs that sound so exciting. And the other thing is, as far as reducing the sessions, there are over half as many staff as there are guests altogether, and the late afternoon and evening programs are the only ones that the majority of the staff can participate in, except on their day off. So I'd argue on behalf of that segment of the community against a great reduction in program for the benefit of a particular other group that can, if they wish, choose not to take part in that program for some other good that they see.
Where?
I'm thinking about programming, and we're talking about programming for youth. And I'm thinking about our programming in general and the voice that youth have in that, which is non-existent. And to recognize youth as a subculture and to deal with them in a kind of dictatorial manner in the way we're doing is wrong. And we have to look at youth as a fresh viewpoint. Something we might not have thought of, or we might have forgotten, and fresh energy that we've lost. Just because we're older than them, we think that we know what they're thinking, and we know because we've been there before, but many times we've forgotten. And we need that energy and that insight and that perspective to truly make the village and the sessions and our meals and everything more full. Because when we leave out a segment of our population, then we're not whole.